Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to, I believe this is the 198th episode show.
99.
Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Melissa Delp.
Kevin Delp.
Jonah Doo.
And Saeed K. Larry.
In the house! So the reason I was thinking it was 198 is because I'm not ready for our 200th episode, which we'll be recording next time. We'll have to do giveaways and have fun and do other cool things.
We're not going to have fun this episode?
Yeah, no fun this episode.
That is correct.
Or giveaways.
All business.
No pleasure.
Nope.
All business. You can just hang up now, but tune in for our next episode because it's going to be amazing. So we've been having lots of fun here. We just finished playing some games, which I'm sure we'll talk about on this episode. We're also going to be talking about some of our favorite Kickstarters from 2021. And then we also got a cool question submitted to us via email, and we'll discuss that a little bit at the end of the episode. And then hang around for the end because we might talk about a totally spoiler-full recap of our Dune experience.
I haven't watched it.
Okay. Jonas had no.
I tried to watch it, and then
tried
the movie theater. I'm walking toward the theater, and there's a lady out front, and I'm like, weird, because the ticket office out front, it's not open. You have to walk inside,
right?
And the lady out front is like, just so everyone who's walking up knows, our internet went down, and so we're doing cash only.
Oh.
And I didn't have cash on me, and I'm already running late. So I was like, I don't have time to go
get cash.
Like, can you pay afterwards?
Gas station. Well, at the same time, I was like, if your internet's down, how are you playing the movie? Like, are you still using?
They're not streaming them, right?
No. Now? Right. So what? How are you still playing it with no internet?
Oh, it's got to be like, it's not streamed. I mean, it's like they got it saved. They're clicking play on their laptop file.
That's so now I was interested to know how are they getting it?
3mm
Sony.
Right. That is a good question.
It's not still
it's
film.
Definitely just film. There's Windows no Media Player playing it or something.
Windows Media Player? I have no chance.
I have 100% seen them like the movie ends and it like cuts to the Windows screen before they turn it off. It's definitely just like Windows Media.
That's
or
wild.
Paint.
They can't use QuickTime?
Yeah.
Something.
I don't know what it is, but it's not impressive.
Crazy.
So we did get an opportunity to play some games tonight and this week. What's some of the hot stuff that you guys have enjoyed playing that you want to share?
We played Trek 12 tonight. Sarah, Katie, Ryan, myself, and Hannah. And that is a roll and write game from Pandasaurus Games. And it is a game where you are trekking through different mountain landscapes, but the way you're doing that is two dice are rolled, and you're basically taking a number from that dice and placing it in your landscape, and you are trying to connect sets of numbers and runs of numbers. The dice that are rolled are sort of the key to the game.
Yeah, and basically, with those two dice, you have to choose an option. Take the high die, the high number, the low number, subtract the high from the low, add them together, or multiply them. So depending on the dice that are rolled, you have quite a few options of what you can use.
What's happening over there, Jonah?
That's the second time today, actually. I'm looking around just like you guys were looking around. Like, what? Who is that? Somebody get their phone. It was me.
It was Ryan. It was totally Ryan. Anyway, Melissa, you multiply the numbers.
Right, and the numbers have to be 0 through 12. So even though you could get a 5 and a 3 for 15,
you're not allowed to place
You're not allowed to put 15. And you only have a certain number of options for each of those mathematical operations. So once you have used all of your pluses, there is no way to get a 9 or an 11 anymore because you can't
prime numbers hard
multiply
to get
those.
I also find it interesting because there's two dice in the game, and normally when you have two six-sided dice, it is usually possible to get sevens very easily. Halfway through the first game, we found out that one of the six-sided dice is 0 through 5.
Mm.
Not 1 through 6.
Interesting.
But that was the first game we played. I mean,
we probably knew that earlier on, but like, the realization.
I was like, oh, you're never gonna get
seven is
you're never gonna get
tough.
A 12 from a 6 and a 6. So anyway, you have to do the multiplication 6 times 2 or 4 times 3. Anyway, I enjoyed it. Sarah played it for the first time, and of course she won. Because that's how she does
that's
things.
Just how
first
I do
time
it.
Powers.
The first time I play a game, yep. I will win. And that's the last time I win the game. Unless I play well in a tile game.
There we go. There are other time. Maps. There's sort of a campaign to the game. There's other maps that you can add in that adds cards and special powers and different like restrictions and stuff.
Yeah, basically you can either play a one shot on any of the... The base game has 3 different maps that you can use, and each player gets their own sheet to write on, like a roll and write. Or you can do all 3 of them and add up the points and stars that you're getting and use these action cards, which are going to help you get certain numbers, because there's one where you can turn the dice into an 11 or a 7 or add and have an extra add.
Yep, very helpful.
And there are secret envelopes that if you meet certain conditions during the game, you can open them up. And there are more cards.
Or you can just open them.
And some of them are very thick. So I am speculating that there might even be more pads, like mountain sheets in there. But I haven't opened them. I don't know it.
How
but that's what it feels like.
How many secret envelopes are we talking about?
Oh, man, there was like...
It's like a 12 campaigner.
It's like... Oh, no, the campaign is like a... 3 different mountains, okay. But if you can unlock more envelopes, there's like 4 or 5 envelopes that you can open, and I believe there's more mountains in there.
Yeah, there's probably like 6 envelopes.
Okay, 6 envelopes. And then there's also an expansion that you can purchase as well.
Remember this conversation later in the episode when we talk about our question from the fan. One of the games that Sarah and I had an opportunity to play this week is called Fire Tower, and I've seen this game a couple
with
different
the gems.
Times. Yeah, and their booth at the conventions we've been at, I think it was a Gen Con, it looks great. The Fire Tower game is normal board, lots of grid on it, and then tons of those cool... Is there a standard name for the gem, the acrylic gems that we see in games?
No, I don't know what you're
talking
about. I know what you're talking about.
We need to coin that term. I think that's what we need to do.
Gems.
Gems.
Gems is the name.
I'm with Joan on this.
It's the standard like glass chunk piece, and they're all like this nice orange color. And on the board, it's actually like a last man standing kind of game where you're trying to burn everybody else's tower down. So the wind blows in a direction unless another player changes it. You've got a hand of cards that allow you to do different things in the game, like lay down fire gems in a certain pattern or put out fire gems, like use water to wash them out so that you're protecting yourself. There's also some really cool like fire hawks that when they catch on fire, they pick up fire and fly over to somewhere else on the board and drop it off. And basically, you're just trying to eliminate each other from the game. But it does look great on the table. They've done a good job with the art, the contrast. You get all those red fiery gems on the board. It looks pretty slick. And then basically you're just trying to burn each other out. And there are some cool rules at the end where once you're caught on fire, your gameplay changes a little bit. So even though it's technically player elimination, technically you could win the game at the end if you play your cards just right. So that was a lot of fun. That was a pretty cool one. And I was glad to finally get a chance to try it out. One other game I played, did you play with me, Sarah? Was the Transformer Deck Builder from... Renegade? Is that who that's from?
No, I watched you read the rules for a really long time while I was making dinner.
There was longer rules than there really should have been.
You read all the rules? I don't believe it.
It took me all of pre-dinner. And that was a pretty neat one. It's pretty standard deck builder. The cards that you're buying from the pool are in the matrix. And so you have like a 3x4 grid or something, and they're face down, and you actually have a robot mini, or not a mini, it's like a cardboard standee that you move around on your turn. So you spend action points on your cards to move around the board, flip over cards, and then you're either revealing allies or enemies that you are going to either gain and add to your hand or that you have to fight against. And it was pretty slick. You pick a transformer to control at the beginning of the game. And you have like the side up that is the vehicle mode, which allows you to travel around more and faster. Or you can transform, It didn't sound like the sound effect for transforming, but
try it again.
I felt like it would when I said it. You can flip it over to the other side where you're the like the bot robot version, and then you're better at fighting and stuff. So pretty neat stuff going on. We only played the basic intro version of the game, so there's a bunch. Not the Transformer sound either.
Oh well.
A bunch of other additional cards that we didn't add.
That's definitely the
what
one.
What is happening?
Oh,
that was me. That was my mouth.
Awesome.
Not at all.
Thank you, Larry, for the sound effects. Very good. That was a neat one, and I would be interested in trying it out with more players because you would do more battle, and you can actually like there's a co-op mode and a competitive mode.
Oh, interesting.
So you can help each other kill the bad
guys. G.I. Joe game only has co-op.
What?
Yeah, and I was wondering how similar the games would be because they had a G.I. Joe deck building and a Transformers.
IP on deck building.
And Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that the G.I. Joe doesn't sound like what you were describing.
It is pretty different. Yeah. They did some neat stuff. The Matrix alone is pretty cool, like exploring
the cards.
It actually
sounds better than the G.I. Joe game. Sorry.
It might have been, actually. I think it might have been.
You played the G.I. Joe game two or three times, right?
I think I only played it once or twice. I got like a good rundown from Dan because he was like, now this also could have happened. And like he told me all about it. But
we had a bad experience with our
you did too
G.I. game.
Transformers
does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, it was neat. And then we also tonight played
Gutenberg.
Yeah,
so I've been able to play this a few times now. This is Melissa's second time, I think, and we introduced it to Will and Jonah and Larry, Psychic Larry. This is a programming game plus basically taking actions throughout the game after you program them, trying to build your printing press and complete orders and gain ink and upgrade and complete embellishments and things like that. So, of different letters.
And I would say the programming is kind of minor because it's just determining priority for each action.
It's important.
it's bidding on turn order more than it is. Yeah. Program.
Yeah, it's not like Robo Rally or something where you're like, did I turn left or
priority
right, or
is
how
the right
many
word.
Steps?
Yeah.
What'd you guys think?
I liked it. I had a good experience with it. I unfortunately lost the tiebreaker.
Yeah!
Unfortunately. I thought it was fun. I thought it was easy to pick up, mm-hmm. which I think is a big deal. At first, when we were kind of putting it out, I was nervous.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I was nervous, but then it was like easy after a round.
It's nice because it's resource collection and basically completing the different
orders. I agree, though. It was a great wait because it looked like, as Melissa was setting it up, there's so much out here. What am I even looking at? There's wooden pieces. There's blocks everywhere. There's tech trees going on. But then it was just like, start at the top of the board, work your way down. Yeah. Oh, great. Do it again. Sweet.
Yeah, it was very good. I like the gear aspect. There's like these gears in the game that kind of interlock with each other and you get to turn them. But I definitely thought that there should be more.
I agree.
To them.
Yeah, I agree. Great concept, but like I wanted to be more awesome. Yeah.
not poor execution.
Right.
Just like, it was fine. I was like, I wanted to be better.
It would be the type of thing that could have a great upgrade.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You could definitely have like next version has twice as many teeth, does 3, 4, 5 things, and they're cooler things.
I agreed.
I as impressed. Will did shot ahead at the very beginning of the game.
I had it.
Which is kind of interesting because another player or another friend of ours played Your Power, which he also shot ahead at the beginning of the game. But then end game, he did not win.
I also did not win.
But you guys were all really close, within 10 points ish of each other. So
yeah, I mean, so Larry and Jonah tied for the win.
Yeah, but I won the tiebreaker because it was the person who had the least amount.
Mm-hmm, least letters.
Yeah, of letters in their press. And I had 7, Jonah had 8.
So tight.
It seems like the tiebreaker should have been something else, honestly. But it's fine. I was honestly a little nervous because Melissa's power, letting her do what was on her gear twice, when she was scoring points off that, I was like, I mean, that's tough to combat.
I could still only take 3 gear actions, so it wasn't like I can activate this one twice and the other 2.
Okay.
So there was a trade-off of I'm only going to actually activate 2 of the gears if I double up on one of them.
I definitely didn't do my gears well because I had a gear with 3 total slots, but only 2 of them were filled. Mm. And I rotated it at one point because I was allowed to pick it up and rotate it to the spot where I could use it this round, but it was going to be... I like went from blank to something to blank again, and it messed me up.
Okay.
I didn't do it right, and I was like, stink. But Too late.
Yeah, it was a little tricky getting those gears. I don't know if I used... Well, I guess I did use mine for some points at the end, which helped me catch Jonah up. But I just hogged all the ink tokens.
Yeah, Larry wasn't hogging the blue ink.
Blue ink. I think like, that kept that kept Melissa from getting a patron card, which
8-point swing.
Probably.
There.
Yeah. I've been close.
That priority, like Kevin was saying, the programming part, like the turn order thing at the beginning ended up being huge, a huge failure for me in the end, because if I had been able to pick those stupid ink colors first, I would have had like 8 more points at the end of the game. Mm. But I just couldn't get the last couple inks that I needed. I was killing it. I get an ink I needed every time. And then last round, I was like, are you kidding me? Where?
Where's the ink?
All I need is a red. Where's this red at? I can't get it.
Yeah, I really liked Gutenberg. This is hopefully going to be available in the United States, hopefully in 2022 sometime. We don't know who has picked it up, but we do know a American publisher has picked it up.
I didn't see the rule book. Is it in English? Mm-hmm. The one that we have? Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, multiple languages. So that was a neat one to play. I think we probably, if you haven't seen our viewpoints videos, you should check those out on YouTube. We just did one for Seven Wonders Architects and
That Time You Killed Me, which is to me one of my favorite viewpoints videos we put out. You have to watch it to find out why.
Yeah. So these are videos where we all get together to kind of share our opinions on the game. And I think Gutenberg is probably one that we'll do in the very near future because it was a great time.
People are really asking for a video on Gutenberg because no one really has the game.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely worth it.
Yep, have to get it out there. Pretty cool stuff. In this episode, we don't have a Kickstarter conniption.
But we will talk about Kickstarters.
Okay, will we?
Because
something second.
Right now, we're talking about our next segment, our favorite Kickstarters from 2021.
We need a sound effect.
No.
Kickstarter, not conniption. Just Kickstarters.
Are these Kickstarters that went live in 2021? Mm-hmm. Or fulfilled in 2021?
Did they have to fund?
I mean, if you loved it, it doesn't have to fund. It could just make people sad that you got to play it. Go for it. Do it.
Okay, so it didn't fund, unfortunately. So I actually have two that didn't fund that I really, really like. So there's a game that went to Kickstarter called Block, B-L-O-K-K.
Exclamation point.
Double K.
Exclamation point, yes. And it's got this...
Oh, the three-dimensionality to it.
Three-dimensional.
Yeah.
It's like a... I don't know. It's a rotate... Think of like a Lazy Susan in your kitchen. Mm-hmm. So it's this, but it's, of course, sized like a Rubik's Cube sized. And you have these blocks that you put on it. There's like three different game modes you can play, but you have these blocks that you put on it. They're all 3D cube Tetris-style pieces, and you're just trying to make a cube, basically, by following the rules of the game, which is draw a random cube, or use the cards, and you have to use that cube, or roll the dice and pick one of the cubes. You basically pick the rules, but then you're putting just these cubes trying to make a bigger cube, like, cooperatively. And I don't normally like cooperative games, and I'm super bad at Tetris, which really just means in my life, super bad at fitting things together, but I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was fun. It was quick. It was easy. It looks cool. It spun. The pieces felt great.
It looked cool.
Like there was nothing going on that was...
I think they just need better advertising.
They got a lot of people to do like their videos for the Kickstarter campaign. Mm-hmm. Five plus, maybe even 10 plus. Mm-hmm. And they weren't asking for a bunch on their Kickstarter campaign, but it didn't fund. Yeah. So, unfortunately, the prototype version will stay at my house, and you'll just have to hear me talk about it on the podcast. Sorry, guys.
Live vicariously, y'all.
Everyone else is frantically looking at what Kickstarters they actually played this year.
That is correct.
I really enjoyed Block and Key.
Ooh.
That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
That was kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
That was kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
These cubed, three-dimensional. Right? That one was fun because the box turned into the game board.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
And then everybody sat on a different side of the table.
And it was
two
stories.
So you had a different perspective than everybody else of the same pieces, and it made you score differently.
And it's kind of same thing. You could, where you stacked them or where, like from your perspective, your view would give you the score. That was a good one.
I like the theme of that, though.
I'm still not good at
like it looked
Tetris,
cool.
So I can't win this game.
Like Indiana Jones sort of theme.
Yeah.
Like that better than just the regular block game.
Agreed. That was a good one.
Will's found one, or should Melissa go next?
I just can't tell what year these things are from is the main
thing. You can tell us, and then we can just look at your videos.
Or you can look on YouTube.
That's actually where I was looking at, but I still couldn't tell what year it was.
Oh, Trello's. There you go, Trello, too.
Like, was genotype this year, or was that 20?
That was 20.
Too far back. Wow. I'm going back in time.
Get out of here.
I mean, I've played it so much this year that it just...
Get out of here.
It's a good one. It's a good one, you guys.
I played that more than
you.
You probably did.
One of the ones that I really enjoyed is Paint the Roses from
North
Star.
Oh, that's on my list, definitely.
The Kickstarter just finished, so it might still be... They might have late pledges available soon. But this is set in the world of Alice in Wonderland, and it is a cooperative deduction game where the queen has specific orders of how she wants you to plant her garden. So, you know, painting the roses red kind of theme. And you have secret cards that say she wants red roses and diamond hedges. No one else knows that you have that card. But you're going to put a tile into the garden, and then you're going to put cubes down if the tile you placed has the attributes that the queen wants. So if I put a red one down and it's next to a diamond, then I would put a cube on it to show that, hey, the queen wants this. If there's two diamonds, I would put two cubes down. So you're deducing with your reasoning what the orders could be and also what they couldn't be based on the layout of the tiles in the garden. And there are cards that are easy and medium and hard, and the queen is running after you trying to chop off your head, so you're trying to stay in front of her. And I've really enjoyed this one. It reminds me of the logic puzzles that I did a ton as a kid.
What's really funny is that I just saw that video. It wasn't... I saw the sneak peek that we got at like Origins or something the other year. I don't even remember when it was. You interviewed somebody who was talking about it.
That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. That just like randomly showed up on my screen the other day.
Really?
And I was like, man, this game looks terrible. But they've like redone everything from the original prototype. And I was like, what a weird... It's so weird. They must have just said it. I just watched this interview from 3 years ago. That's super funny.
One of my favorite games that launched on Kickstarter this past year is from Floodgate Games called Vivid. This is a route-building game. You are collecting, they're not gems, but they're crystals.
Fragments.
Thank you.
Memory fragments.
They're like crystals that you're placing on your board.
Are they the same type of gems that are in?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. These... They're connecting, you're connecting different pathways on your brain and completing those, trying to connect a different color, the same colors to each other, but then also getting points by completing different things in your brain, basically the different memories. So Sarah's played it.
I got to play it recently for the first time on our live.
That's right.
Which was tricky playing live against people who had already played.
Yeah, you did a good job.
But yeah, this was my type of game. The putting the right patterns together was...
Did
for the most part.
She probably won.
It was your first time.
Yeah, it was her first time play.
First time playing, I won. That's how it is.
That's how I play.
Yeah, and this game actually has also fulfilled this year, so it is available for purchase.
It is.
Something else that's one of Sarah's favorite games, I'm assuming she's going to mention it. I think it's a Kickstarter. It's Verdant. Was that a Kickstarter?
It was.
Yes.
It was. Probably her number one.
Were you saving it for the end?
I don't know. There's a lot of good ones this year.
Yeah. That one was super fun, though. I've enjoyed playing it multiple times, and it's not even really my type of game. But it's still great.
Which is good. You don't like my type of games very often, so this one will have to hit the table.
Cool.
I enjoyed Fall of the Mountain King.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Verdant, but okay, keep going.
Oh. No, I got too many to talk about. All right. We got to keep this moving.
Keep it moving.
I enjoyed Fall of the Mountain King. I didn't get to play it as many times as I would have liked before we sent it on to the next reviewer. But I enjoyed the gameplay.
It's actually at my house.
What?
Shut up.
You took it home?
That's
and
awesome.
Hit it?
She thought she boarded it on. It's just.
I didn't hide it.
That's what happens. That's what happens.
Wait.
Like, games go to my house.
I feel betrayed. What?
Betrayed.
But I was actually going to bring that up. So thank you for bringing it up. I really enjoyed that. I'm like, excited to see a more complete version of the game because it was really prototype components that we played. But it was. It was fun.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. It's a good game.
Yeah. How does it compare to In the Hall of the Mountain King?
It's pretty different.
Totally so it's different. Actually completely different. Same iconography and things.
Artist style.
Yeah, but it's actually a completely different game.
Yeah, this one is
no comparison.
Is area control and it's not the tile laying like the other one was with resources and a tree, a cascading resource tree that was very unique. This one had some of that idea.
It had some unique stuff still, yeah.
Yeah, sure. It had a very unique way to gain resources once again, but the map was completely different shaped.
Cool. Melissa, I'm sure you have one.
Oh, I mean,
numerical order.
I actually am ahead of the game and have started to make my top 10 list.
I told her we're doing the video like after Thanksgiving. Very we're doing nice. Our video for this, so
she's feel getting like ready. I need to mention Rolling Thunder from designer Richard Lanius. It's a stock car racing game, NASCAR.
I knew it was going to be on your list
without actually saying NASCAR, but there is a Tantrum House
car
in
yes.
the game.
Super awesome,
and I may have won almost every single race that
I don't
I've
think
done.
She's lost a game.
So basically
she's cheating.
I'm just basically really good at it. This mm-hmm. is the one game where dice don't hate me.
That's true. There you
so go. It has a bit of a feel of Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So the game where you're rolling dice, making sets from your dice, and then putting them on action spaces, but it's more complex.
Way more complex.
And the actions that you're doing, you're trying to get a lot of dice on them so you can get cards, which you're going to use in the second phase of the game when you're programming cards to actually move your race cars around the track. And you can do things like draft with people. You can side draft them and send them backwards. You can cross over and switch places with them. And so you're doing a bunch of things to try to get your car into a good position and ahead of others during the dice rolling phase. And then in the playing the cards.
That's not how to play.
Sorry. I like it. There's a video. We did a playthrough and a how to play. So you can look at those if you're interested in dice rolling, car racing, and Tantrum House.
Yeah, Melissa really likes it. She just wants to wax eloquent about it. So anyway, I've got another one. Let's Agamonia. This is from Lottapulit, and we did a playthrough of it, and maybe an overview video as well. But anyway, this is an adventure story campaign type game. We had the sort of prologue games. There was three that we got to play. And it's cooperative where you are working together to basically go through the story and fight the enemies and uncover different clues and stuff like that. So
yeah, I think Will might have played it with us live.
You probably did.
I might have.
You're a little character, and the board was a book. A book.
Oh yeah, I did play that. That was great.
The scenario we did there a little cart that we were trying to get along the path, and the tree
and the spiders
down.
Came out.
Yep.
Okay, it's coming back to him.
Yeah, that was
fun. He was here in body.
Exactly. Somebody literally just asked me yesterday. We had a game night, and somebody said, Do you like remember all the games that you've played from the last, you know, like
he's
couple
asking
years?
The wrong guy. He's asking
like,
the wrong
guy. Well, does he remember when he played last week?
I was like, maybe I got a month. That's about it. I don't have enough room to absorb and keep it here. It just goes in one ear out the other as I experience it.
That's why I log mine on BGG I can look
good
back
job.
And be like, oh, that's what
play
I
that
did.
Game.
Let's look at our videos.
I have a long list of Roll and Rights.
There
you
go.
I did.
Oh,
did you do Three Sisters? Did you play
Three
Sisters?
I did. I played Three Sisters.
I had that one on my list.
Go for it. Talk about Three Sisters.
Three Sisters was a nice midweight roll and write.
Yep.
Talking about gardening and
witches.
Plants.
Oh.
Yeah. No. That would have been a Halloween theme. That would have been great.
That would have been fun.
And then I also enjoyed Lots Filled In, which was a very
an expansion
simple
or a
no,
standalone.
It's a standalone roll and write based on
the other was like a dexterity game, right?
And yeah, Lots is a dexterity game, and this is a roll and write.
Oh,
it's very simple and very quick,
cool.
But it's very accessible.
Cool.
And then the other one, oh no,
Long Shot the Dice Game. Oh, that's not a roll. Yeah, that was a roll.
Pletrix. I don't know if that one funded or not.
I don't know.
That one was also kind of Tetris-y like shapes.
It's like playing five different games of Tetris at the
same
time.
Yeah, it was. And you had to balance them all, which I did like that part. So I enjoyed that one. I've actually pulled that one out several times since the campaign.
Yeah, Kevin mentioned Longshot the Dice Game, which is another roll and write with a horse racing theme. And
plug real quick for Tantrum Con.
Yep, I was going to do that. Good, good job, Kevin.
Go nice
for
segue.
We're
segue.
Having horse racing?
Yeah,
that's
we're
right.
going to have live
and
horse
food.
Racing. So we talked to Perplexed, and they are hopefully signing on the dotted line soon to have a tournament meal with Longshot the Dice Game. You've heard it here first. So, and we're gonna deck the room out. Katie, I'm sure, will make it really cool with, you know.
Should we wear fancy hats like
course.
They do at the Derby?
I'm sure we can have. I'm sure we can get something.
It'd be great. If you're not familiar with our tournament meal things, which you can't find online because I haven't posted the new ones yet, they are part of Tantrum Con, and it's where we go all out. We play a game while also usually, I think always, eating a meal at the same time. So one of my favorites was Winner Winner Chicken Dinner from 25th Century Games. We ate a chicken dinner, played the game. Me and Chad Elkins may have done like a Dueling Banjos intro, which was super entertaining, I thought.
You
and
the banjo?
Air banjo. Oh, okay. Similar to air guitar, only way less awesome. Cool. But more hilarious. And so we've been signing a couple different tournament meals. Do you want to throw some of those other ones out there?
The other one that
exciting.
Is definitely confirmed is Stonemaier's Rolling Realms.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that too.
Two rolling rides.
Yep, so anyway,
are we serving rolls or have we figured out what
yeah,
the
what are we eating?
Definitely just rolls.
Just rolls. It's going to be the greatest meal ever.
Round foods.
Round food. Cheese
well,
wheels.
It's realms. And Jonah's idea was we have a wine corner.
Oh, like a different realm for each of
for
the.
Each.
For viticulture.
Right,
yeah.
right.
All
right.
The different games.
Jonah just wanted a wine corner.
And then there can be my little scythe can be like little kid finger foods
like,
and yeah. goldfish.
Chicken tenders.
Chicken sure. tenders for the people who mm-hmm. aren't cultured. And mm-hmm. just want snacky food.
There you go.
But none of this is confirmed.
No, Rolling
no,
Realms is confirmed.
We're just making up on this
spot.
No,
food,
no,
the food
do.
Is definitely confirmed.
These sound like terrible foods. Usually they're delicious. We did New York Slice 1 year, and we had a pizza party, which was yep. awesome.
We are having a pizza party Saturday night.
Are we? Great.
Yes.
We've done all kinds of good stuff. So, yeah, the tournament meals are a blast. If you're coming to Tantrum Con, sign up for one of those puppies fast because they sell out and they are a great time.
And the dates for Tantrum Con are?
February 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 2022.
Last weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina.
We played a game with Dan, with Journeyman Dan. Apprentice Dan? What is he now?
Journeyman Dan.
Called Florence.
Ooh, that was on my list.
It's on my
too.
List.
Was it on your list?
Did you like that?
I stole it from you. I did like it. I really enjoyed that game. I don't know how to describe it well.
It's a game where you're moving people around on the board. So it'd be more like a not a rondel, but
There's a carriage that's going to be moving around, and it follows a set path.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember.
Sort of worker
I think
placement.
You have like action points. Like it takes this many action points to do a certain mm-hmm. thing or to put this person out. So, and maybe they're even actual meeples that it takes this many to do yeah. something. So you have to kind of ration the actions that you want to do each round because you're going to run out of people.
Yep.
I liked it.
I remember that game. I liked it. I'm going to try one also.
I haven't talked about my favorite Kickstarter
I think it
yet.
Came to a tiebreaker.
Oh, I've had a lot of tiebreakers, actually, with the people at this table. It happens often.
It does.
Jonah and I are really neck and neck. You guys are, like, I should be winning, and then you guys are having a lucky game.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
that's what
for sure.
Or there's some creative scorekeeping going on. I have not talked about my favorite Kickstarter of the year yet. Anybody else got another one?
I mean, I have a favorite one, but I'll hold off.
We already
on
know
it.
What it is, though, Melissa.
Oh, let's talk about Melissa's.
Okay. Shocker.
Guess now.
It is Castles of Mad King Ludwig Ta-da! Collector's Edition.
Dun, 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 dun.
The giant one.
Isn't it colossal?
Well, it's colossal cool. was one of the options, oh. but there's also collectors without it being colossal. It had new
regular
art,
old
so really,
normal size.
Really yeah. beautiful art and
but the expansion
and
the,
a new expansion.
So the I will say I love Castles of Mannington Ludwig. The expansion that came out a few years ago, I did not the moats expansion, not like
don't
hardly ever play with that. But the towers expansion that's come in this new Kickstarter, love it.
That
love
was very
the towers.
Good.
Yeah, towers expansion. Very cool. So it's basically Castles of Mannington Ludwig so much better. So
yes,
the like, so much better version.
Yeah. It's like shining angels singing.
Oh, yeah, I don't have that.
That's good. That's hard to do because, I mean, the first one was so good. So, like, mm-hmm. you get an expansion out like Moats, which is just give you some additional content for it. But then to actually make the game better, yep. that's good. That's good stuff.
Yep. All right.
All right, Kevin, give us that favorite game of 2021 Kickstarter.
Does Melissa know what it is? Da-da-da-da. Yes, it is on Melissa's list. Good job. This from Renegade Games. It's called My Father's Work.
Ah, I did hear you talk about that one a lot.
Yeah, this is a game where you are a mad scientist and you are doing inventions and things like that out and collecting resources and stuff throughout the round or the age.
Generation.
The generation, but then you die. And you're basically passing on your knowledge to the next generation.
That's cool.
All your stuff goes away except for like maybe one invention that you're working on, and your knowledge gets to stay. And then your predecessor gets to then work up and do some more stuff. But not only that, the game state changes because there's a flip book that's also where you're doing your worker actions. Based on decisions being made, there's branching paths in the game.
So, not a pop-up. I was imagining a pop-up book for a second, which was confusing to
like,
me.
Sort of like like the Gloomhaven Jaws of the Lion book or the one we
Spiral
talked about.
Bound, yeah, Spiral Bound. Yeah,
Spiral Bound. Yep. So you're going to turn to a new page, which is a new way of doing your work replacement. And then...
Yeah, I was going to say it does have an app that is integral and it is carrying the story elements and it'll even know which characters, which players have done certain actions.
Yep.
And... if you do some bad stuff, it might come back to haunt you in a later generation. Or if you're the one who built the bank, maybe you become the mayor or something.
Yep. So I'm pretty sure it plays over three generations. So, yeah.
Yeah. And there are several scenarios, but each scenario is very replayable because of the branching paths and there's randomized elements in it.
I was trying to build a time machine for my one time we were playing. I almost got it, I think. Anyway. It's really fun. My Father's Work for Renegade Games. Any last comments?
The last comment would be sure to check out our videos because we will be putting out some 2021 favorite Kickstarter videos. Is yours already out there?
No. We're going to record it after Thanksgiving.
Give a little more time in the year for everybody to get their campaigns in.
That's right.
And then, yeah, we'll put together some of our favorites.
Are you going
to
do one?
I want to look at the list and see what's on there, but I feel like
I've got a lot of good ones. So
we got at least 10 in there that we should definitely
talk about.
We got
way more than 10. It's going to be a struggle to pare it down to 10. Like every year, there will be some honorable mentions.
The question is...
Sometimes Kevin and I do ours separately, and that gets more games onto the list.
Ah, there you go.
Is Studio J going to join this year?
I'm just going to piggyback on somebody else's video.
Okay.
Jump on in.
You'll be the outtakes at the end.
Yep.
There you go.
With my honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions
that might
are...
be 10 of them in order.
That'd be awesome. Very cool.
We should do a video where it like starts and then it ends immediately and then we just go to the outtakes at the end and then the whole video is... Here we go. Got it figured out. All right. Well, awesome. Let's change gears just a little bit. We always enjoy hearing from our listeners at home. It's always good to know that there's somebody out there on the other side of the microphone, speaker, where they at, listening in. And we always love when people send us feedback or suggestions. We got one that was pretty interesting that I thought might be worth chatting about this afternoon from our friend Katrina. They're probably listening to this in the afternoon. You think they listen to this at 10 p.m. at night when we're...
Maybe in the morning on the way to work.
Exactly. So afternoon. Just generally today we're doing this. Time travel, it doesn't matter when you're in podcast land. Katrina wrote a nice little email that said, thanks for putting out great content. And then she said she had a suggestion for something we could talk about on the podcast. And she basically explains that typically she finds that she's only getting 2 to 3 plays out of the board games that she buys before she moves on to the next one, which the cult of the new is a big thing in the board game industry. I know that we... suffer from it, like actual sufferings, because there's so many games that people want us to cover and talk about and experience and play that we very rarely get an opportunity to come back to a game once we do that initial run through. So we, you know, maybe me and Sarah play together and then we play with everybody else and then we play it one more time or two more times before we try to put together some content. And then oftentimes it sits back on the corner in the shadows, literally in the shadows corner of my room. And, so her question basically is, or she says that she discovered this YouTube channel, Karar, K-A-R-A-R, and on this channel they produce scenarios for existing board games that are not scenario-based board games. And so I don't have any exact examples, but I'm going to make up stuff. Basically, it's like you would play Settlers of Catan, but if you go to this YouTube channel, you can watch her rule set and scenarios that she's built for normal one-off games. And then you, you know, have some new storyline that goes with it and some different variations on how you play and goals to achieve. And so Katrina was saying that she was excited because this has given her the opportunity to replay a lot of games that she had, you know, kind of just lodged on the shelf and wasn't planning to play again. But she had had some renewed excitement as a result of these scenarios. So you can check those out. You might as well. It's worth it. I think most of them are free. There might be some like Kickstarters or something that were done to fund some of these campaigns, some of these scenarios. And then her real question is, and this is for all you guys at the table, she says, if you were not pressed for time to review new board games all the time, would you prefer campaign games with overarching stories to get the maximum worth out of your money? Or would you still prefer games which are single session plays? Which one do you think is better? Normal? And what do you think is better for normal non-content creator peoples? So obviously she recognizes like the scenario, the situation that we're in trying to create new content. And so she says, you know, pull yourself from the 50-foot view and say, what do you think other people would appreciate?
I know that I've seen a Catan Legacy game out there. It's called like Lords of Catan or something.
You should Google that.
You should totally go on YouTube and check that out.
Those are good times.
I mean,
also check the date the video is released.
I mean, just
no, don't worry about that date
too much. Yeah.
So we're totally saying it's worth it.
So obviously there are games that have scenarios in them. And I would say, judged based on some of our own experiences, like we do get probably more plays out of scenario games, right? You guys play like the entire Lord of the Rings thing.
Several times.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because it was scenario based? I mean, would you have played it otherwise?
Yeah, I mean, it's a campaign.
Yeah, so it's a story. You're going from a beginning of a story to the end of the story. So I've played the first campaign of the Lord of the Rings, Rings of Middle Earth probably 3 or 4 times now.
The whole story all the way through.
The whole story all the way through with different groups.
Although I would say the first one's probably my least favorite.
I know.
Of the campaigns.
I agree.
The first time you went through?
No. The first, there's the other Journeys of Middle Earth campaigns. Oh. There's like 4 or 5 of them out there. Yeah. The first one's not as good as the other ones. They got better.
They got a bunch of DLC that you can download.
Yeah.
They got really good.
Yeah.
I think the hardest thing for normal game or normal non-content creators is kind of making sure you have like a group that's going to stay with you through a campaign. I think getting everybody back, if you have a steady group that you play with, then campaigns I think are great because personally I love progression in the games and being able to do that through multiple games is fun and exciting to me. But keeping a group that long is very difficult, as we learned when we started Gloomhaven.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if these are specifically campaigns or if they're just scenarios.
That's what I was going to say, Larry. The answer to this question is it depends on who you're playing with. Hmm. Because if you always, always, always play with the same people, then I feel like you probably would enjoy campaigns more, even for one-off games that, you know, can be introduced to a brand new campaign or whatever. But one of the things that I really love about playing games is that I can play them with new people. I can invite people over to my house from this group or that group or whoever. And so because of that, I don't want a campaign game because this person might just be over because it's, I don't know, you know, it's Thanksgiving time and holidays are coming up. And so a new group of people might be coming over. I don't want a campaign. I want a one-off because I want to play it with them and I want to do a different one-off next week and a different one-off the week after. But if it's like I'm always playing with my same group, like I haven't played with anyone else in a year because I know a lot of board gamers do that. Like it's the 3 of us, it's the 4 of us, it's the 5 of us every time, then it makes sense that you guys want to do campaigns as opposed to one-off games.
Yeah, Will and I are in the same boat. We game with lots of different people of varying gamer abilities. So it's not a one-size-fit-all.
No, and it just, even though when you have those people over, your first inclination is not screaming campaign game. Like, even if it was a scenario for a game that, like, you know what I mean?
I
like,
agree.
You're just like, no, I need the 20-minuter, or I need the introduction one for the people who don't really play. And again, I think it's just based on who you're playing with.
Yeah, I definitely think your gaming situation. Kevin and I don't have kids, so we have a little bit more time. We have been able to do quite a few campaigns, Clank Legacy, Pandemic Season 1 and Season 0, Lord of the Rings several times, Adventures, Robin Hood.
Oh, the Adventures in of Robin Hood?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that one.
And the Merry Men. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's a different one.
Not that one.
The one in the Larry and Larry show?
No, that's a different one. The Adventures of Robin Hood is from Cosmos.
But we also have the situations where community game night or having people over. And in those situations, right, we're not doing campaign games or scenarios because they haven't even played Ticket to Ride. So we're not going to pull them into something that's more complex if there was a Ticket to Ride scenario.
Yeah, I would say like Monday nights when Tantrum House gets together, like, we all, you know, are playing games together, but I would say it would be very difficult for us to do a campaign game. Number one, there's a lot of us. Number two, not all of us are here every single Monday night. But my Tuesday night gaming group, it's the same four guys every Tuesday night. And we're able to do that because it's, you know, it's the same people every time.
Yeah. And I think potentially couples who play together a lot, just the two of them, I could see wanting something to freshen up the games that they're already playing, potentially.
And loving.
Yeah, I know people who have, like, we've played Wingspan every single day this year. Okay. Yeah, maybe put a campaign or something with it so there's a little bit more.
I know some couples who like to do the campaigns, scenario stuff, cooperative stuff, so they don't get in arguments over it, which I totally understand, because when I play with Chantel, like I'm trying to beat you.
Yeah.
And so I see, like, if that was my person that I played with every time and we didn't mix it up,
co-op would
like
be nice.
We can't do this every night, you know.
I don't want to keep beating you.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's, and I don't want to have to keep sleeping on the couch when, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. Yeah, I think I generally agree with everything that's been said. I'm in that same boat where, like, it is fun when you can find a good campaign and get everybody around the table. Awesome. It is fun to play one-offs whenever you can. I think if I did see, oh, there's a, you know, campaign or a scenario for a game that I love, then I would definitely be more tempted to pull it off the shelf than I would be normally, because I have the opportunity to try it out. But I think it does come down to, what kind of gamer are you? Who are you playing with? And how much access do you have to existing games? Interesting stuff. So thank you for submitting the questions. If anybody else has questions that they'd love to pick our brains on,
now's the time to do it. Like this week, send it to Sarah at Tantrum House.
S-A-R-A at TantrumHouse.com.
Send questions and send us audio of just because our 200th episode is happening. It so is. We want to hear from you. We will put your, you know,
well wishes
or whatever in the next camp, in the next podcast episode.
Yeah. Tell us what you like about Tantrum House or the podcast.
Or what do you want to see in the future?
Or what you hate.
Oh, let's keep this positive.
I don't even mind reading what you hate because that helps us get better.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, look at that.
We want to hear from you.
I like constructive criticism.
Written by via email, sarah@tantrumhouse.com. You can send an email or you can send
an audio file,
a video file. We can definitely use any of those. So cool.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. We'd love to hear from you guys. We do enjoy ideas that come in and opportunities to talk about topics, and it's a lot of fun. So feel free to send them our way. We'd love to hear them. I think we are probably going to wrap this episode in just a minute, maybe. I don't know what's happening. Looking at each other.
No, I'm just going to push the end button.
I think we can do that. But hang around at the end if you want to hear a little bit on our thoughts for the Dune movie that's in theaters right now. We'll have some fun talking about that after the show.
Can't do it. I'm out of here.
All right. Bye, Jonah.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
So everybody left the house because apparently only Kevin and I have seen Dune.
someday, other people will see it.
Yeah, we'll have to give. Well, it'll be more entertaining when we get Ryan and other people in
That's
the house
true.
Who have seen it. So if you have seen it, maybe you should just hang around till next week, and we'll really recap all of our in-depth thoughts on Dune for you.
Sounds good.
Is that a good leave you hanging? You hung around to the end of the show, and then you're like, That's right. It. That's all I get.
Dune. I'll tell you my thoughts when I watch the second part.
You can't, that's a long wait. Although they're already working on it, so it can't be that long. Good. All right. Yep. Good stuff. All right. See you guys next time.
Bye. Boo.